Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy Independence Day. This last week we celebrated Independence Day, and we remember something called vicariousness. Ooh, big word, Sunday morning. Vicariousness. What does it mean, vicariousness or vicarious? Well, in terms of Independence Day, what would we say? There were soldiers and people who served on our behalf, maybe even some who died in our place to secure our freedoms. So we praise and thank God for their life, their sacrifice. That vicariousness is something we know and appreciate, don't we? Someone died in our place. Somebody served in our place. Vicarious. Also today, above all, we praise God from our independence, not from freedoms down, not from like tyrannical other nations, but we have independence today from sin and death and the power of the evil one. And how did that happen? Through vicariousness, right? Because someone came and fought for our freedoms. His name is Christ Jesus. He died on the cross in our place that we might live, that we might have freedom and peace with God. He reconciled us to the Father. Praise be to God. That's our independence we celebrate today as his people. However, in the text today, we hear also about a vicariousness. And that's what I want to bring out today from the text from Luke chapter 10. There's a vicariousness of Jesus and his other disciples because he sent them out ahead of him, two by two, that's kind of biblical, all to those places where he himself would go. They went in Jesus' place. They were vicars. God sent vicars out to the places where Jesus would go before he would go to prepare the way. I served a year as a vicar in Palo Alto, California, a long time ago while I was going to seminary. A vicar is someone who stands in the place of the pastor. So sometimes I got to preach, sometimes I got to teach. This is to help train a pastor up to be a pastor, right? I was a vicar. So also in the text today, we hear about the vicars, the 72 who were appointed to go out in Jesus' name and with his power on his behalf to prepare the way for Jesus to come. They were his vicars. How are they to go? Good question from our text. How is it that the vicars were to respond and what are they to do? Well, the first thing Jesus tells them to do in the text is to pray. Pray earnestly that the Lord send more laborers into the harvest. For the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers, the vicars, are few. So also today, we as the church, what do? We pray. Today we'll pray that God would send more laborers out as well, because the harvest is plentiful. Our church is not yet full. Other churches, not yet full. We need to bring in, with the message of the gospel, the whole world to know Christ, to know the love of God in Christ Jesus, how he's reconciled us to the Father. We need more vicars, if you will. And they were also to trust, right? Trust the Lord to provide. Don't bring money. Don't bring a knapsack. Don't bring extra pair of sandals. Don't greet anybody on the road. Just trust the Lord. He is going to provide for you. Whenever you go into someone's house, eat whatever is presented. What if it's unclean? Eat whatever is presented. What if it's offered to some other god? Eat whatever is presented before you, Jesus is saying, because you're bringing the cleanness. You're bringing God to the house. You're offering the message of peace to the house. Don't worry about the externals. Trust in God. He provides for you, for the vicars, so that others may hear and know the truth and the love of God. And what was their purpose? Why did they go out? Jesus says, heal the sick. Cast out demons. Pray. Extend the peace of God to the house. That was their purpose. And tell them that the kingdom of God has come close. It's come near to you. The kingdom of God has come near. That was what the vicars do. They proclaim where the kingdom of God is. That's their purpose. Proclaim, hey, here's the kingdom of God. It's very close. Why? Because there was two in Christ's name coming to proclaim the kingdom. And soon Jesus would come. The kingdom of God in human flesh and blood would be there in that town soon. The kingdom of God has come near. And finally, the result of sending these 72 out, these vicars, well, what do you do if they don't receive you, right? That's the big question. What happens if we go and proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near and they don't receive the message? If there's no sons of peace there, what happens? And Jesus teaches us about the vicarious message that they proclaim. He says, the one who hears you hears me. The one who rejects you rejects me. And they're not just rejecting me, they're rejecting the one who sent me, God the Father. They're his vicars. And the message that they preach, the vicarious message of God. What a wonderful duty and responsibility that these people had to proclaim the kingdom of God is near. And that whoever hears them, hears not just them, but hears Christ. And hears not just Christ, but also hears the one who sent Christ, God the Father. What a wonderful duty. What a wonderful privilege to be that church, to be that appointed one, to go out and spread the news of the reconciliation, the justification of our God. What a great privilege, if you will. And then the church today should see itself kind of as one big vicarage. I know the Pope has been called in times past the vicar of Christ on earth. You ever heard that before? The Pope is the vicar of Christ. And that's supposed to kind of exalt him to a certain spiritual degree as he's above and different than the rest of us. He's the vicar, and he's proclaiming Christ to us. And I would suggest it's true whenever the Pope is preaching the Word of God truthfully, then yes, indeed, he's the vicar. He's proclaiming the truth of God here below. Praise be to God. However, spiritually speaking, you're the vicar, and I'm the vicar. Whenever God sends his Holy Spirit down upon us to help us preach the good news, to tell our neighbor of the love of God, to be the appointed ones to proclaim the peace and the love of God, you too are his vicar. You're the vicarious one. You're the voice of God. You're the hands. You're the feet. Blessed are those, and how beautiful the feet of those who preach the good news. You are the vicar. Be good vicars, in other words. And there's also some woes that Jesus says in this text. And these woes are represented by what they do. If you scrape this dust off your shoes, that's as if saying that God himself is dusting his grace and his mercy off from them as well. And Jesus has woes that he gives to the cities. Woe to you. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. It would have been better and more bearable for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And really, this vicarious work of the church continues to proclaim both the law, the woe if you don't receive Christ, and the beauty and the rejoicing when those who hear and believe the truth of God and come to the knowledge of the truth. A great vicarage. Finally, we see in the text a vicarious authority, if you will. What did the disciples note? And they come back to Jesus, and what do they tell Jesus? Oh, we were able to cast out demons in your name. And those special words there, in your name. They weren't able to do it on their own authority. I'm not able on my own to cast out any demons either. But when I trust and speak the word of God, what happens? The devil has to flee. And all spirits have to be subject to the word of God because it's authority. It has power. And in truth, we act even there when we cast out demons, not by our own power, but by Christ's power. We are his vicars. The vicarious authority of God has been given to the church, such that even when we pronounce the forgiveness of sins to one another, it's as if God himself in heaven had preached the same good news. Your sins are forgiven. What a great power that the church has. We're not just non-powerful people. We are powerful, not because of our own authority and power, but because of Christ's vicarious power that you see so abundant here in the text. Finally, the last vicariousness you see in this text is about, again, these demons and how they have great joy because they cast out demons. And Jesus says, don't rejoice in that power. That's an impressive power, but it doesn't mean much. Really, you should rejoice. Why? Because your names are written in heaven. And I would suggest your name is like your vicar. Okay? Your name is up in heaven written in a book. That represents you. Your name is like a vicar for you. It represents you and how You are already in the book. It's as good as done. We have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, the vicarious message is ours here below, and it's ours up above. God has sealed our name into a book that we might ever rejoice truly to know the victory and the love of God in Christ Jesus for you because of his cross and by his open grave for you. Rejoice. Your name is written in heaven. Be a vicar. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.